Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zorah, Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis, we want to note that we offered a rather extensive introduction to this particular sugya during the last 10 minutes approximately of the previous shiur, so that to gain a fuller appreciation of this sugya, we recommend going back, clicking on the shiur of Daf Yud Aleph, and listening to the last 10 minutes for the involved introduction that we provided. The Gemara that we are picking up with concerns the question of, is it mutter to have dealings with people, with the market in Atluza Shel Aza? This was a meat market located right outside of Aza. Aza being a community that, as far as our Gemara is concerned, a community that was celebrating an idolatrous holiday, a Yom Eid. Is it mutter to have dealings with the people in Atluza Shel Aza when The area in which Atluza Shel Aza, this meat market, was located, that particular community, which was right next to Aza, they were not celebrating a day of idolatry? So we saw an answer to that question. It was presented in a rather cryptic fashion at the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, where Rabbi Chanina was answering Reish Lakish's question, and he said, Rabbi Chanina said to him, did you never go to Tzur, a city where Jews and Gentiles live together? And did you never see that in that community they would place two pots, each one respectively, the Jew and the Gentile, right next to each other on the stovetop? And that did not bother the Chachamim. So that from that analogy of the two pots next to each other, we are to draw a lesson with regard to Atluza Shel Aza and Aza, which were also next to each other. The question right now that the Gemara opens up with is, "My lo choshu dohem chachomim." What problem could there have been that we say the chachomim, the sages, did not worry about? In other words, they allowed it. What problem or what suspicion are they not worrying about? So with regard to this, we have three answers. These are represented by the triangles that you see in the Gemara. If we glance at the outside margin, we have a mivneh, a structural note. And we see shloisha, we see a triangle featured, and we'll read the note. Shloisha hesberim, three explanations, lahavin tshuvasel shel Rabbi Chanina, in order to understand what Rabbi Chanina meant by his analogy to the two pots. He'ora, we want to just make a little note here, that with the triangles, yesh levarer mahu mashmois hamoshal. First, we have to, the triangles will introduce the piece of Gemara each time. It's going to happen three times. What is the intent of the analogy? What is the meaning of the issue concerning the pots? So each time the Gemara will focus first on the issue of the pots, and then the double underline will be featuring the word dekavasa. This is the nimshal. First we have a moshal is the example, and the nimshal is the lesson to be drawn from it, and that's what the double underlines will be featuring. Achakach mahu hanimshal legabi shelosenu, what's the lesson to be learned with regard to our specific question? We've also provided a brief we'll call it an outline in the margin of our Gemara concerning the chashoshos regarding the pots. And we've numbered them 1, 2, and 3. And you can see there, this as we can look at this simply as an overview or an introduction to the Gemara, even though we mentioned that we presented this in an elaborate fashion in the previous shiur. The three opinions regarding the pots would be a suspicion of Besar Nevela, which is an Iser Doraisa, and we're saying that here the Chachamim did not worry about that. The parallel to that would be the chashash of Demei Avodah Zarah that you can see in the second list. Those are the chashashos hamakbilos be'ir shechutzalah, the parallel chashash regarding the external community that we would not worry about. With regard to the pots, the second opinion says bishul nachri, the suspicion that the Gentiles stirred up or cooked up the pot of the Jew, and that's a rabbinic prohibition as opposed to nevelo, which is a Torah prohibition. And according to the second opinion, so the rabbonin were relaxing only a suspicion regarding a rabbinic prohibition. In other words, if I can assure myself, if I can explain that there's no doraisa chashash, and there would be only a rabbonin chashash, so that they didn't worry about. The parallel is to that would be the isur schiro biyom edo, the prohibition of doing business with the Gentile on his holiday. And the third opinion will be hatozas roitev, the spattering of gravy from the unkosher pot into the kosher pot. That being a rather far-fetched suspicion, that is what we do not concern ourselves with. But if there would be room for anything more severe, that would bother us. And likewise, the parallel to the case of the city accepting this third approach would be the isur shel lifnei yom edom, the prohibition of dealing with an idol worshiper on the pre-holiday days. Let us see this now in the Gemara. The second line from the top, the Gemara asks, "My lo choshu lohem chachomim." What did Rabbi Chanino mean when he said that in Tzur, the rabbi saw the kosher pot and the unkosher pot next to each other, and the chachomim did not worry about that? Omar Abaye, mishum basar nevela. Abaye says what they did not worry about was even a Torah concern, namely that that the goy might have placed unkosher meat into the kosher pot. The Gemara explains, lo amrinon, we don't say Dilma Mahadir Ape Yisrael Achore, Fishodi Oive Kichovim Nevelo Bekadero, that maybe the Jew turned his back, and when his back was turned, the idol worshipper put Nevelo, unkosher meat, into his pot. In other words, we don't worry about that. Even though it's a Torah concern, a Torah level concern as opposed to a rabbinic concern, we don't worry about that. The Kavosah, the parallel to our question of the Atluza Sha'aza Hochinami. So to hear, Lo Choshu Lohem Chachomim Mishum Demei Avodis Chachomim. The Chachomim are not worried that the money that may be in the suburb meat market may be money that was dedicated to the idol being from the internal city, that the money came from the internal idol worshipping city and is currently in the suburb meat market, and the money was dedicated for the purpose of buying animals for idol worship. So we're not worried about that. Even though those monies, if we were to worry about it, would have been an Isur De'oraisa. Rava Omar, Rava is more strict, and he says, "My lo choshu lohem chachomim." What was the chashash that the Rabbona did not worry about with regard to the pots in Tzur? Mishum bishule oivedei kechovim. Rashi explains that as far as the issue of the nevela is concerned, that wouldn't have been room for suspicion whatsoever in the first place. What may have been a problem in the case of the pots of food in Tzur would be that the Gentile stirred up or cooked up the Jewish food. That's in general, Bishul Nochri is an Isur de Rabbanan, and if it's only a matter of suspicion, so we don't worry about that might have happened. The Kavosah, the parallel case, Hochinami, so too over here, Lo choshu lohem chachomim mishum yoim edom. We have to offer by way of introduction that which we've included in a little note on the side. You can see there's a double star. Lo Rava, according to Rava's approach to this, to explaining lo choshu lohem chachomim, ein heter im b'nei chutzolah there is no heter to deal with the people in the external, in the suburban community, Elohim King Shitaloch Dahakesif Lo Bo Me'azo, unless it's obvious, unless it's clear that the money did not come from the internal city, from Azo. Elohim Mitoch Tevo Shel Zu Shemichutzalo. And the heter will be only if it's clear that the money is coming from, let us say, the cash register or the safe belonging to the person from the external, from this suburban community. So once the Doraisa level suspicion is knocked out, in other words, I don't have to worry about the money per se, because I'm sure that the money comes from the external non-worshipping community. The only suspicion that may be of a rabbinic nature. So just like we saw in the case of the pots, we're not worried about the rabbinic violation of Bishul Nochri, so too in the external community, I'm not choshesh that the person that I'm dealing with in the external community comes from the internal community. In that case, if he did come from the internal community, there would be a rabbinic prohibition of dealing with Gentiles, b'yoyim edom. So let's read that again in the Gemara. It says, hochinami lo choshlem chachomim, hochinami being two, here too in the case of etluza shel azo, the chachomim do not worry, mishum ye yom edom, that I'm not worried that the person I'm dealing with comes from the internal community, which would have been a problem of commerce on his holiday. Rabo bar Ula Omar, he's even more strict than Rava, and he says, Loi choshu lohem chachomim mishum tzinura. With regard to the pots, what they were not worried about is the spattering of gravy from the unkosher pot into the kosher pot. That is what they didn't worry about, and we would have to say that that's a very, as we said in our introduction, that's a very far-fetched problem. First of all, it's not common that pots spatter their gravy in all directions, and secondly, even if it did, the gravy probably would have been botel berov. So that is the only thing that the Chachomim were willing to look aside when it came to the pots. The Kavasa, the parallel case of problem with regard to Itluza Shalaza, Hochinami, here too, the parallel case is of a very low level problem. Lo Choshlem Chachomim Mishum Lifnei Eidehem. What the Chachomim would have relaxed is dealing with a man from the outside community on the pre-holiday days. Lifnei Eidehem being a lower level prohibition than the holiday itself. Therefore, if I'm coming to Itluza Shel Azo on the days before the holiday itself that's celebrated in Azo, and I don't know the man that I'm dealing with, I don't have to suspect that he comes from Azo itself, where there would be a prohibition of dealing with him on the pre-days. So it's only that case that Rabbi Chanina was willing to allow. Mahu Leilech Lesham. The Mishnah raised the question of, is it mutter to go on the road that leads to a city of a city who is celebrating a Yom Eid, an idolatrous holiday? Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source, and you can see that it included in a frame. In our marking system, we frame off all Tanaic sources. We also have a Nosei Mivneh, a topic heading and structural note that accompanies this in the outside margin. Devorim Hanirim Ki'ilu Hoylech Lavoidezora O Pu'ulois Shel Avoido Le'elil. These are things or situations that may look like I am going to the idol, or different actions. And we have included the actions in diamonds. Different actions that might appear as if I'm worshipping the idol. And we have to determine whether the action is mutter or usser, as will be explained in the Gemara. So, and b'sof ha'omud, ha'gemara masbira lama tzrichim kol dugma. At the end of the omud of the Gemara will explain why the Brice has to present so many different examples. Turning to the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, ir shiyesh bo avodas kochavim, osur likones l'socha, a city that is celebrating, that is worshipping an idol. So such a city, it's forbidden to go into that town. The problem being because it arouses suspicion that I am going to worship the idol as well. velo mitoicha li'ir acheres. And likewise, it's usher to go from that city to another city. Divrei Rebbe Meir. V'chachamim omrim. We might want to refine our pshat and say that the issue concerns being on a road that leads to a city, so that one cannot go on the road with the intention of going to the city, nor going from the city to another city, which would apparently would arise suspicion that here he's on the road, that though he's going to another city, but he's coming from the city that there was idol worship, and people will say he is an idol worshiper. The Chachamim Omrim, they have a more lenient approach. They say, "Kol zman shaderech miyuchedes le'oseh mokom oser." As long as the road leads only to the idolatrous city, so then we have the above mentioned restriction. However, ein haderech miyuchedes le'oseh mokom muter. If the road is not restricted, it doesn't. It's not like a dead end road that just ends in that city, but the road goes through the city into another town. Therefore, it would be mutter to go on that road, even if I'm going in the direction of the city, because people who see me figure that I'm going to continue through the town on the road to another place that's not worshipping idols. And likewise, if I'm on the road leaving that idolatrous city, people will figure that I'm not leaving the city itself, but I may have been coming from another place that cut through the idolatrous city on my way not having originated in the idolatrous town. Yoshav lo koitz b'fnei avodas kechavim lo yishche v'yitlenu. Imagine a person experienced a thorn entering his body, on his foot, let's say. So we're told here that if the thorn got into your foot while you were in front of an idol, you should not bend over to remove the thorn. It looks like you're worshipping the idol. You're bowing to the idol. V'im'eino nire. This expression of v'im'eino nire will be explained later in the Gemara. But for our purposes, we're just going to translate, if it doesn't appear, then mutter, then it's okay. Now, v'im'eino nire, at this point in the Gemara, at this point in the Brisa, we can translate it, would mean if you are not seen, then it would be mutter to bend over in front of the Avodah Zarah. However, we must caution that this is not going to be the accepted explanation later on. Later the Gemara will bring up the issue that even if you're not seen by others, that doesn't mean that it's mutter to do this action in front of the idol. The Gemara will eventually explain that imeno nira means that it doesn't appear as if you are worshipping. Continuing, Nispazru lo ma'oisov b'fnei avodas kechavim lo yishche v'yitlen. If a person dropped some money, some cash, in front of the idol, you're not allowed to bend over to pick up the money. B'nei shenira k'mishtach avodas kechavim, because it appears that you're bowing to the idol. V'eino nira muter. Once again, we have this expression. At this point, we can translate, if you are not seen, then it would be muter. But as we said before, that is going to be changed. Mayon hamoyshech lifnei avodas kechavim, if there is a spring of water that's flowing in front of an idol, lo yishche v'yishte, one is not allowed to bend over and drink from the spring. V'nei shenire kemishtachav avodas kechavim, v'eino nire muter. Partzufois hamakalchin mayim. There's a girsa that Rashi suggests here is bikrochim. Partzufos are faces. They're carved or sculptured human faces that water flows. Sometimes they're translated as gargoyles. There's water that is flows from in back of these faces, flowing out of their mouths. A type of fountain, if you will. So these partsufos, these faces, these images that have water flowing from them in communities, lo yoniach piv al pihem v'yishte. One is not allowed to place his lips on this image and drink from it. Menei shenira k'menashek l'avodis kechavim. It appears that he's kissing the idol. Kayotze bo. Similarly, lo yaniach piv. We have the expression once again of don't place your mouth al silon on a pipe v'yishte and drink directly from the pipe. This is a pipe that's connected to the ground and has water flowing in it. Mipnei hasakona, because of a physical danger. Rashi mentions shelo yivla aluka, that if one were to do this, there would be a suspicion or a possibility of a swallowing an aluka being some type of creature, an insect or some type of small creature that could pose a physical danger. My eno nireh. What is meant by the expression that we saw above? In the first example, we saw the prohibition of bending over to take a thorn out of one's foot while standing in front of an avodah zarah, and the brisa mentioned that if it's eno nireh, then it's allowed. What does that mean? E lema delo mischazi. If you were to say, to translate it as that you are not seen, that if you are not seen, it would be allowed. That's not true. V'ha'amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Any situation that the Chachamim restricted you from doing something because of Maris Ha'ayin, of the way it appears, that type of action, even if it's not seen by anybody, even in one's inner chambers, it would be usher to do the same thing. So that in our case, if when seen, it would appear that you are serving the idol. If people see you bending over to take out the thorn or pick up the money in front of an idol, and they would think that you're practicing idol worship, even if no one sees you, it would be prohibited to do the same thing. Elo emo. So rather, we have to refine the explanation as follows, and we've provided a frame around this section, indicating that this is the way to understand the source above. Im eno nira kimishtachave vavodis gechove muter. If it doesn't appear to those who see you as an act of avodah zarah, for example, when he bends over to remove the thorn, he's bending over with his back toward the idol, or his side to the idol, which is not the way of serving idols. So if it doesn't appear as an act of idol worship, then it would be allowed. Utsricha, and I need all of the examples. De'itona koitz, if I would tell you the prohibition of removing the thorn from his foot, that it's usher to bend over to remove the thorn in front of the avodah zarah, I'll tell you why that is prohibited. Mishum de'efshir lemezel kameu mishkalei, because it's possible to take a couple steps, even though it might hurt, take a couple steps away from the idol and then remove the thorn. You have an option. You have a heter option. So therefore, we restrict you from removing the thorn directly in front of the idol. Avol mois, but when it came to the change that scattered in front of the idol, low efsher, this change is there, that the money can't move, so you have no other way other than bending over in front of the idol to pick it up. Aim low. I would have thought that there is no restriction. Therefore, it was necessary to teach that case as well, even though you don't have any other option, nevertheless, it's prohibited. The etonomois, and had I taught the case of the prohibition with regard to the money, that's dimamona, because it's just a matter of money, avokoits. But when it came to the case of the thorn, the tsara, that it's physical, bodily pain, amolo. Maybe there was no restriction in that case, and they would allow it. And therefore, it had to be taught that as well is prohibited. The e tona hani, if I would have taught the restriction regarding these two, the e tona hani tarti, if I would have taught the restriction regarding these two, the cash and the thorn, mishum deleko sakona, there's no issue of imminent danger, avomayon, but with regard to the stream of water flowing in front of the idol, the ikos sakona di ilo shasi mayis, there was an imminent danger that if he wouldn't drink, he might die out of thirst, amolo. Therefore, I would have thought that we don't impose a restriction. Therefore, tzricha, I have to tell you that even though there is an element of danger, of it's a danger of death, we nevertheless restrict it. We see from here, this Gemara is taking a very stringent approach to, it would seem, the topic of Yehoreg Valyavar, that one must allow himself to die or be killed and not to engage in idol worship. Here, it seems that from this Gemara at least, it seems that even though the person might be in a state of sakona, of death, danger of dying from thirst. Nevertheless, we won't allow him to bend over in front of the idol, even though he has no intention of worshiping the idol, but it simply creates an appearance that he's worshiping the idol. He must forego the drink. And as the Gemara said, Sricha, therefore I need to tell you each one of these restrictions, because in each case I might have thought that it should be allowed. Partsufos Momali. Why does the Mishnah teach the case of the partsufos, of the gargoyles? Wasn't that also a case of drinking? And just like we said, the case of the ma'ayon, the spring, is forbidden. That should have included the case of the gargoyles. So the Gemara answers, in theory you're right, but the purpose of bringing in the gargoyles was really because the Brisa had another agenda. Mishum de kaboi lemisni, because the Brisa wanted to teach the following. Kayotsebo lo yoniach piv agabi hasiloin v'yishtemit nehasakona. The common denominator between the case of the gargoyles was with regard to the placing of the mouth. And there was placing of the mouth on the gargoyle, and in the case of the pipe that was attached to the ground, there, that too was a matter of placing the mouth. That's why the case of the gargoyles was taught, sort of as a lead-in to another situation of placing one's mouth to the item. And in this case, at the end, it was an issue of placing one's mouth to the pipe attached to the ground, and that's restricted because of danger. My sakona, what is the danger? True, we mentioned it before in the name of Rashi, but here the Gemara says it, and this is where Rashi got it from, the sakona of aluka. Some translations call it a leech, but for our purposes, we don't have to give an actual translation other than say it's some type of creature that if one were to swallow it, it would pose a danger. Therefore, the source is saying, don't do this. Don't place your mouth on this silon, on this pipe attached to the ground, and drink directly from that. The Gemara, as it continues, we see a geometric form, we see a house form. On the side, we have a nosei mivneh, a topic heading with a structural note. The house form introduces two brisos, two Tanaic sources. You can see one here and halfway down the page, another one. Shamashutaf lahem, the common denominator between these two sources is isur shtias mayim. The prohibition of drinking water given certain circumstances because of a danger. It might be pointed out that the first source deals with a physical danger, and the second source deals with a danger that is posed from some type of non-physical source. Tanu Rabbanan, lo yishte odo mayim, a person should not drink water, lo min hanahorois, not from rivers, velo min hoagamim, not from lakes, lo befiv, velo biyodo achas, and if he's going to drink from these, he is not to drink by bending over and drinking directly from those water sources by drinking with his mouth, nor by slurping it up in with one hand. Rashi says biyodo achas. Across me, Rashi says mimahir vezorek befiv ve'eno bodek. He by slapping up the water with one hand, he does it in a rapid fashion. He doesn't see what's in the water. Avol b'shtei yodov. But if he cups his two hands together and submerges it or immerses it in the water and scoops up water with his two hands, yochol la'akvu biyodo bi'ayin. He can. It doesn't have to be a rapid motion, and he can delay the water in his hands and investigate it at that moment. Continuing in the source, v'im shasa, if he did drink this way with his mouth or slurping it up or with one hand, domoi v'roishim mitnei hasakana, then his blood is on his head, so to speak. That means that he's endangering himself. My sakona, what's the potential danger here? Sakonas aluka. It's the sakona of consuming, of swallowing an aluka, which we mentioned before, some type of creature that grows in these bodies of water. And consuming it would pose a danger. Misayalei the Rabbi Hanina. This supports Rabbi Hanina. The Omer Rabbi Hanina, Habolea, Nimo Shomayim. If one were to swallow, Nimo is an aluka, a water aluka, if one swallowed that, and we're talking here about Shabbos, mutter lohochem lohamim b'Shabbos, it would be mutter to violate the prohibition of cooking up on Shabbos. He could boil up water on Shabbos. the consuming of the boiled water, or the drinking of the boiled water will help this person, will save him from this danger. So we see that the Nimo Shamayim, or the Aluka, poses a danger, so much so that it's mutter to violate Shabbos to help such an individual. There was an incident where someone swallowed one of these creatures. The Hiti Rebbe Chanino, there's some an alternative girsa as presented on the side, is Rebbe Chanino. The Hiti Rebbe Chanino lahochein lo chamin b'Shabbos, and in fact, a practical case came to Rebbe Chanino that he allowed the boiling up of the water. Adahochi v'hochi. In the meantime, until the water gets boiled up, what should one do? Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, Ligma Chola. He should swallow some, Chola is a type of is vinegar, so that will stop, that will provide an interim solution so that he shouldn't die quickly. Amar Rav Idi Bar Oven, Haiman Debola Zibura. If a person swallows a Zibura, some type of creature, Rashi calls it a Tzir'ah, sometimes translated as a wasp, but we can't necessarily apply the translations that we're offering today to creatures that we are familiar with. So it's more efficient for us simply to refer to them by the name presented in the Gemara. So one who consumes a zibura, michyo lo chaya, he will not continue living. Miu lishke revisa dechola shamgaz. However, even though he is inevitably going to die, we should give this person to drink a revius. It's a quantity of chola shamgaz, a very strong type of vinegar. Efshir dechaye purta, this will delay his rapid death. And what will we gain from the delay in his dying? Ad demafkir abesi. This will give him enough time to issue a will. Tana rabbanan lo yishte adam mayim balayla. A person should not drink water at night. Ve'im shasa. And if he does drink water at night, damoy v'roishu mipnei hasakana, then he is endangering himself because of a sakana. My sakana. What's the danger that is being posed to a person who wants to drink at night? Sakonas shavriri. It's the sakana of shavriri. Rashi says shavriri shade hamemuna amaka sanverim. This is a demon who has control over blindness. The eat sochi maitakante. If a person sochi means is thirsty, and it's at night, what's the solution? What can he do to protect himself from this particular demon? Iiko achrina bahade, if there is someone else with him, then misrei, he should wake him up, velemole, and tell the person with him, sachino maya, I am thirsty. Veiloi, and if there is no one else with him, then nikarkesh benaksimo achatzva, he should nikarkesh is to bang the naksimo is the lid of the barrel. He should bang, or the jug or the pitcher, he should bang the lid achatzva on the barrel itself, on the container, creating a noise. And Rashi says that by creating the noise, it'll appear that there's someone else with him. It'll create a sense of the person is not alone. V'neimo ihu l'nafshe, and he should then say the following incantation. Planyo bar planiso, omroloch imoch. He cites his name and his mother's name, and he says that his mother told him, Izdaher mishavriri briri riri yiri ri, bekosi chivri. This is an incantation. As you can see, the word shavriri, which was the name of that shade, of that demon, as he goes on in this incantation, he is reducing the number of letters, and the reduction of the letters is designed to reduce or eliminate the demon. Ir shiyesh bo avodas kechavim. V'hoyu bo chanuyos mu'utoros v'sheina mu'utoros. A city that had in it an idol, and the marketplaces were decorated by wreaths. Some had wreaths, were mu'utoros, some were decorated, and there were some stores that were without wreaths. Zehoyo ma'isa be'beishan v'yomru chachomim. An incident like this happened in the city of Beishan, and the chachomim ruled. Hamutaros Asuros. The cities that are decorated are forbidden. One cannot have dealings with them. V'she'enon Mutaros, Mutaros. And those that are not decorated are Mutar. Let us glance at the Rashi, v'hoyu bo at chanuyos mutaros, v'simenhu lohem. This was a sign, she'oisil chanuyos shel avidus kechoven heim, litol mehem meches. Stores like that were stores belonging to idol worshippers, and there would be a tax taken, a meches, a tax collected from those stores for the purposes of the idol. The Rashi under Dibur Maskel She'ein Mutaros Mutaros, Rashi says the Ba'oison She'ein Mutaros, the undecorated stores, Lo Shakli Minayu Michsa Lavadis Kechovim, they would not collect taxes from those for the purpose of the idol. The Lo Matio Lavadis Kechovim Hano Minayu, and the idol would therefore not benefit at all from purchases made in those stores. The e mishum de noisei venoisein beyoyim edom, and if you'll say, but isn't there still a problem of doing business with idol worshippers on their holiday? So how can it be mutter to deal with those stores? Hani midi lizvuni lahu. That is a restriction with regard to selling to them. Dilma mazvin le behemov yozul makru lavis kechovim. I must restrict selling to them because I might come to sell to them an animal that he will then go and offer as a sacrifice to his idol. Inami derech lokech lios someach, the Azulumodi. Another possibility is that it's restricted to sell to them very simply because a person who buys something, as opposed to someone who sells, a person who buys something is happy. He now has an acquisition. And as a result of that happiness, he'll go and thank his idol. Avol, le mizvan minayu, but as far as buying from them, dovor hamiskayim, something that is a non-perishable, shari, that's allowed, the stam mocher osevu, that generally speaking, the average seller is saddened that he loses items. If, of course, it was a perishable, that would also cause him happiness. So there would be also to buy from him a perishable, because he knows that if he has it, if he holds on to it, it'll go bad. As we look on in the Gemara, we see a new geometric form. We see a diamond, and on the side of the Gemara, we have an introduction to this. We see shtei deos, two opinions, legabi knias moitzorim mechanias mutoros, buying items from decorated stores, and the decorations may be beverid vahadas. These are fragrant type of wreaths, shemerichin, and another decoration may be beperos, decorated with fruits. Itur biyom edom, decorations on holidays, simen shegoyven mehem meches, that's a sign that taxes are collected from them. Klomar, the two opinions are those of Reish Lakish and later on of Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish says, nehene mehem osir, it's osir to benefit from them, lehonos me'atoros rechonios, to benefit from fragrant wreaths. Mehane mutter, but to benefit the goy, that is okay. Akum goyve meches mimashe Shilanti lagoy, that if I buy something from the goy, he gets money, and eventually the idol will collect a tax from that. According to Reish Lakish, that is okay. So Reish Lakish is a lenient opinion. He says that the problem would be only with regard to the stores decorated with fragrant wreaths. I'm benefiting from Avodah Zorah related material, but to cause them benefit, that's okay. Rabbi Yochanan, he has another opinion. Gam mehana osir, to cause benefit is also restricted. V'lechein osir liknos mikol chanuyos hamutaros. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it will be osir to buy from all decorated stores. Shesimin shegoyven mehem meches avodah zorah, because the fact that it has any type of decoration wreath on it, even if it's not fragrant, is a sign that the idol worshippers, the idols, collect a tax from them. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Reb Shimon Melokish, Lo Shonu Elo Mutoros Beveret Vahadas. The Mishnah that said Mutoros Osir, that's only if they're decorated with fragrant wreaths, Vered and Hadas being fragrant types of plants. They call Mishani Merecha, because I am benefiting from that fragrance. Avo Mutoros Beperos Mutoros. But if they're decorated with fruits, then it's okay to buy from them. My time off. Why is the restriction, as Reish Lakish said, meaning only to benefit from them and not cause them benefit? Do you want my call? The pasuk with regard to idols says, "Lo yidbak biyodcha meumo min achirim." There shall cleave unto you nothing from the spoils, a reference to the avodah zoras. Nehene hudaser, benefiting from them is what's prohibited. Avol mehane shori, but to cause them benefit, that's okay. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, afilu mutaros perisnami oser. Even those stores that are decorated with fruits is prohibited. And he feels that this is a kal v'chomer. Nehene oser, for me to benefit is oser. Mehane lo kol shekein, all the more so for me to cause the idol benefit. That certainly would be oser. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.